Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I am so blessed to be able to share this word. It's a word, of course, focused with a focus on moms, but it's a word for every single person in this place this morning. Men, women, young people, it's a word for everybody. And thank you for sharing Mother's Day with us. If it's your first time coming or you came with a family member or a friend or whatever, we want to thank you for sharing your Mother's Day with us this morning. I am going to be preaching, but I first want to tell you that, or ask you, how many of you have been provoked? Just a few people. Wow, you guys are amazing. You guys must be very calm and very stable. And amen, you never get provoked. Well, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about that this morning. Pastor Daniel will be returning to the series on Joseph, Living the Dream, on Wednesday night. And so we hope we get to see you back here then. And then, of course, this weekend, Dr. Morocco will be with us, which I'm so excited. He's my spiritual father, and you don't want to miss that. Okay, provoked. It's Mother's Day. Those of you who have kids or grandkids, you've been provoked in some capacity, right? We're going to talk about that word and a couple of the definitions of it, and of course that depends on the context. The biblical provoking, and kids, I don't know, one famous preacher said that it's like you have this giant red button on you that's labeled disrespect. And kids, they just have this knack of being able to push that thing over and over, and only they know how to, they do it really well. And so you get your disrespect button pushed all the time. But maybe just not you guys, just me. Anyway, I've been provoked before. And so we've all experienced things in our lives that have provoked us. Bringing up lots of various feelings and emotions. Sometimes it's a provoking for good, provoking unto godliness, which we're not going to be talking about that and focusing on that today. We're going to be talking on about the other part of it, which in the Old Testament, that word provoked is, I don't know how to pronounce it in the Hebrew, but it's Kaas or something, and it means to describe, it describes a wide range of emotions that are both divine and human. Everybody experiences it, grief, irritation, anger, and it's used to describe God's response in several places in the Old Testament, God's response to his people's idolatry, their behavior, disobedience. He experiences displeasure, grief, indignation, anger, and in Deuteronomy 9:18, Moses is recounting how he interceded for the Israelites because they had provoked the Lord to anger with their sin. Hebrews 10:24 in the New Testament, of course, in the Greek, is also provoke, and that's where you're spurring someone on. It says another believer, a fellow believer, onto love and good works. And that kind of provoking is it's more like a jabbing or a cutting, where it's an instant thing, it's a sudden thing where you're jabbing them on. You know, I used to ride horses, and sometimes I still do, but I remember those spurs. If you just tap that horse a little bit with spurs, I never really use them very often, but if you tap that horse with a spur, they're going to be like, oh, they're going to move. It's an action that causes, it produces a response in that horse and in us too. And that's what that other word means and in the Greek. And so every single one of us have experienced some level of provoking or another. How do we respond to these things that provoke us? And I think the better question is, how does God want us to respond to the things that provoke us? And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. So if you'd stand to your feet, we're going to get in the Word. You're going to open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you can't stand, you can stand up on the inside, as Pastor Daniel loves to say. Here we go. Now there was a certain man of Ramaith Zophim of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her. He what? He provoked her, or she provoked her, severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her again. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah had spoken her heart, but only her lips moved. But her voice was not heard, and therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, she said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you've asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away, ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass, in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light upon our path. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come upon me with an unction this morning to be able to communicate that which you put in my heart for your people this morning. God, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive in what you're saying in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So in looking at the context of what's taking place here, we're starting in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. And Israel, this narrative was written about 1100 to 1050 BC, somewhere in that time period. And the state of Israel, they were in complete chaos morally and spiritually. It was a time of transition out of the period of the judges and moving into the time of the monarchy, the reign of kings. And we like to say it like this, that Israel had gone through cycles of captivity. It's where they, and people go through this still today. We call it cycles of captivity, where they would serve the Lord. They would start following idols and fall back to their old ways. The judgment of God would come upon them through the hands of their enemies. They would cry out to God. They would repent. God would raise up a judge to deliver them, and then they would walk in victory. And so that cycle continued and continued over and over and over again for, several centuries. And because of the continued disobedience, Israel lost touch and lost their spiritual covering. You know, the Lord, their source of spiritual power, and the Lord. And therefore, they lost the ability to defend themselves. They would just get beat up all the time by their neighboring enemies. And the final chapter of Judges 19 through 21, Israel went through a terrible time of civil war with the tribe of Benjamin. It's just terrible. You can read about it. I won't go into that this morning. But it was so devastating to them that the nation, it just was about to fall apart. Collapse was upon them. They're, as a nation, they're about to fall apart. One scholar said, described Israel at this time in history, saying that the historical, sociological, economical, political, and theological summary of the state of Israel is found in the last sentence of Judges 21, verse 25. And that verse says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. There was no king. And of course, Israel didn't want the Lord to be their king, which was the plan and desire of God Almighty. They wanted to have a king, a physical king, like every other nation all around them. And it's in this setting that we read in 1 Samuel about a man named Elkanah. Right there in the text, you can see he was a Levite by descent from the line of Korah, which you can find out more about that in 1 Chronicles 6. He was from Zoph, Ramathaim, Zophim, another name, and the hill country in Ephraim, which is actually the ancient city name for Bethlehem. So comes from Bethlehem. He had two wives, and all the women said, yikes! I said in the first service, I mean, that right there would just make me want to rip her hair out, and the husband would want to rip his own hair out, and it would be like a household of bald people. How horrible. I mean, no offense to the bald people. I love your hair with no head, your head with no hair. But that's trouble. Come on. You're trying to like get healed of a spirit of competition, and that's the way. Anyway, I'm not going to. It's just very terrible. poor Elkanah. Anyway, the order in which it's written right there, it says that there was Hannah and then there was Peninnah, and it could be suggested that Hannah was his wife and he took a second wife because she was barren. And it says that right after that, she was barren and that the Lord had closed her womb. And this sentence actually, in two sentences, that statement is made twice. The Lord had closed her womb. What's interesting about that is it's fascinating because it implies that Hannah's infertility was not an accident. It was the deliberate work of the Lord. It was the Lord that caused her womb to be barren. The same God that commanded humanity, the people of Israel, to be fruitful and multiply, he's the one that made it so Hannah, an Israelite, couldn't be fruitful and multiply. The same God. Very interesting, right? And the statement that God had closed her womb is very significant there, because usually in biblical narratives, whenever they use God's personal name as a sign of covenant language, right? It's a sign of covenant language. And so Elkanah had two wives, the text says, that he went year by year to worship and sacrifice the Lord at Shiloh. He gave portions to his wife Peninnah and her children, but he gave a double portion to Hannah because he loved her. And Peninnah, or however her name is said, provoked her cruelly, relentlessly, year after year, it says, festival by festival, meal after meal, relentlessly teased her and provoked her because she had no children, because her womb was empty. A constant reminder. Every time there was a feast, every time they had a festival meal, every time they went up to worship God, it was a constant reminder to Hannah, your womb is barren, your empty womb. You have an empty womb. An unfulfilled dream and an unfulfilled hope. Peninnah had children, plural, many children, it sounds like. I mean, who knows? Maybe she had five, which means, I mean, she could have had five and under. I know somebody in this room that has that. I don't know where you are, but we know somebody that has that. So 5 years, that's a long time of suffering, but who knows? Maybe the children were older. Regardless, it's a long time to be suffering from that. And, you know, it's similar to other narratives in the Bible where matriarchs of our faith had issues conceiving and like Sarah and Abraham. And so they got Hagar involved. Sarah got Hagar involved to try to help God out. And then we're still dealing with some of those issues today. Let's move on. And then Rachel and Leah constantly fighting over Jacob, who gets to be with their husband. The husband tonight is a nightmare. Their household must have been a total nightmare. And the unloved wife of the unloved wife has the children and provokes the woman who's barren. Interesting. Hannah, who God gave a desire to have children, but her barrenness was like a coat of shame that was put on, and because it was considered a curse, because God said, be fruitful and multiply. She had to bear that, the judgment of people, when it was God that made her womb empty. Fascinating. Like her, like Hannah, all of us have different things and situations, circumstances that the enemy uses to mock us, to goad us, provoke us to wrath and anger, hopelessness in different situations. The enemy can do that. We all have promises, things that we're believing God to be fulfilled, things that haven't happened yet, things, impossibilities, but we serve a God that's the God of the impossible, and he's able to do it. He's able to do it, and he's able to fulfill it. Well, what is Hannah's response to this relentless, cruel, never-ending mocking and provoking? She prayed. She went to the house of the Lord. She didn't quit going to church. She prayed. She went up. She kept going year after year. She would go. It says that she went. She prayed. She was a woman of prayer. She poured her heart out before the Lord. She didn't start whining. She didn't get on Facebook and tell every single person in the world what a horrible jerk Penina was. She didn't assassinate her character that we can read. She didn't get into a fist fight that we can tell, right? My husband found out in the first service that when I was 12 years old, I got into a fist fight with my best friend over a boy. I lost. Anyway, it was very sad. But she was my best friend, so she had mercy on me. She only pulled my hair a little bit. You know, there are things that are impossible, and I'm not trying to mock or make fun of all that. There are things that look impossible. But like I said, God is the God of the impossible. And some people say, you know, all we can do now, oh my gosh, all we can do is pray, when that is the very thing, the very first thing that we should do. That's what Hannah did. She went to the house of the Lord. She went to early morning prayer. She went to all night prayer. She went to Friday night, whatever it is, whatever place it is that you pray, she went to prayer. She prayed. She poured her life out before the Lord. Penina, the jerk, no, just kidding. Penina, she needed deep inner healing from jealousy and all those horrible things, being the second in line. She meant all of that to provoke Hannah to bitterness, to embitter her, and even cause her to lose out on the promises of God. But Hannah pressed in, didn't get bitter, and went after God. And that's what we should do. Well, firstly, she prayed, but secondly, she made a vow. I know people who have come before the Lord, they're broken, and they're like, God, if you'll just do this. God takes vows very seriously. He takes them very seriously. And they come before the Lord, but if you'll just do this for me, I'll serve you all the days of my life. Kind of like what Jacob did in the wilderness initially. If you do this for me, and he made a vow before the Lord. If you'll just do this for me, I'll do this. If you just provide, if you give me this money for my rent, I'll tithe forever. You better be careful what you vow to the Lord. He takes it very seriously. In Psalm 50, verse 14, the psalmist says, sacrifice your thank offerings to God and fulfill your vows to the Most High. Deuteronomy 23 says, in verse 21, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, don't be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you'll be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you'll not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you've made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. We've got to fulfill those vows. She made a vow, and as a result, she gets up, she gets done, she makes a vow before the Lord, and of course Eli sees her, thinks she's drinking, thinks she's a drunken woman, and she has that whole conversation. No, I'm just vexed in my soul because of all this difficulty. And he says, well, may the God of Israel hear your prayer, amen, and blesses her. And she receives the blessing of Eli the priest, and she walks away from that with confident assurance. confident assurance. And how can you say that? You should say, Pastor Karen, how can you say that? Because it says that her face changed and she went to eat. There's a principle that we like to call praying through. It's where you get before God in such a place of desperation that you spend time. And if you're a person that's given to prayer and you're a person of prayer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're an intercessor in this place, you know what it's like. You pray and pray your ears out until, pray your heart out before the Lord until it's like there's a bell that rings in heaven and you find there just to be this peace afterwards, knowing that God heard you or that God is going to answer or whatever it is, there's a peace that comes. When I was a single person, not long after I met Daniel, well, the biggest dream of my whole life is that I wanted to get married and have kids. That's the vision I had for my life. That was it. I didn't have dreams of doing something famous or, you know, money. I didn't have any of that. I wanted to get married and have kids. That was my dream. Unfortunately, it was an idol. I was an idol before the Lord. So when I got saved, there was a time, yes, Pastor Daniel brought me to church, but there was a time when I had to separate and go before God and take that thing and get healed and delivered of, because it was like an addiction. It was like the first thing. It was like, here's Jesus, and here's the desire to get married. It's like right up there close to Jesus. And I had to go before the Lord. It was so painful because I had to take that thing that I wanted the most, and I had to lay it on the altar and say, God, you've got to take this thing away from me. You've got to take this addiction away. You've got to take it. You've got to change my heart. You have to help me to focus my heart and my life and my everything, all of me, to on you. I don't want to have any idols in my life. I don't want to love Daniel more than I love you. And after I did that for, I don't know, like an hour, crying because it was like I had this hole, you know, the proverbial hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. There was a big hole there. And I asked Jesus to come in. I mean, I was saved, but I asked him to come and fill me and be everything that I ever wanted. Help me to realize he was everything and is everything I ever wanted is more accurate. And it was like I came through the other side of that. There was this peace. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says that it's the peace of God. Where is that? It says, oh no. It's new iPad. But it's the peace of God. You make your request known to God. You come before him with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will come and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Right. Sorry, I butchered that, but there it is. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's what happens when you have a breakthrough in prayer. It happens. Hannah prayed through. She got the breakthrough. She went away and ate, and her face no longer was sad. And what takes place after that is that Hannah conceives. We don't know how long it took. The text doesn't say it. But it does say that in due time, Hannah conceived and she bore Samuel. God's timing is a mystery. I don't understand it. I don't understand why some things they just happen immediately. I've had so many things where God just does it immediately. But we've also had other things where it's taken 20 years and we're still contending and believing for things. So I don't understand. God's timing can be a mystery. And it's a challenge. And our job is to stand and pray and press into the Lord and pray through. Amen? You can't change things. you can't change. You just have to stand before the Lord. Yes, I messed up that, Pastor Daniel. All right. Hannah fulfilled her vow. Hannah devotedly nurtures her son, Sammy. He's born. She devotedly nurtures him at Ramah at their home. And she stays back with him, saying basically that after he's weaned, so we think about 3 years old, that she's going to take him to the house of the Lord to stay there forever. So that's their plan. She stays home with him. And their home, Ramah, becomes a place. And the Lord desires this of, I think, all families and all children. That's his ideal, is that the home becomes a place of devotion and spiritual preparation for a child. That's what his desire is, right? Sometimes we have to go through a lot of healing and different things to actually make that happen. And it's not only that, but it becomes a foundation place for Samuel's prophetic calling. And when the time again came for them to go to the feast, this time Hannah and Elkanah went. And they brought their little son Samuel to appear before the Lord, accompanied by a lavish sacrifice. This is one of the best models in the Old Testament of a fulfillment of a vow. Remember I said you have to keep your vows to the Lord? Both Elkanah and Hannah fulfilled their vows, not only by going every single year, but they brought Samuel and they brought a very lavish, generous gift to the Lord. They were very generous. They modeled extreme generosity in their giving. And I want to give a shout out to Elkanah. And, you know, he could have shut down. He had the authority to shut down Hannah's vow. He had the authority to do that. Not only did he, so he gave and went lavishly every single year before the Lord, but he could have said to Hannah, no, I'm going to keep my son. That's my son. You're my beloved wife. I don't want him to go spend. He could have shut down Hannah's vow, but he respected her decision before the Lord. He affirmed his wife's right to make a commitment to God. He confirmed her vow to the Lord, even though it meant losing his firstborn son. As spouses, can I just say, as spouses, as parents, as friends, as leaders, whatever role you are in your life, you have great influence over the young people around you and each other. God desires us to be a people that build up and help facilitate the calling of God on people's lives, not shut it down. I'm like terrified, or have the fear of God, I should say, about shutting down anything that God wants to do through us here. I'm terrified of that. I don't ever want to cause that to happen. I don't want my husband, I don't want my kids, I don't want you, I don't want anybody to miss out on what God has for them. And that's how we should be. We should be encouragers of people's dreams, of the calling. And I want to also just give a shout out to all the men and women. But if you have a spouse or a woman that's in a political role, like Nolan Edna, Mayor Edna, or a pastor, your wife is a pastor, a minister, and you're not, it takes a strong man. I think it takes a strong man to be good with that. I mean, totally confident in his own role and that what God has called him. And they allow their women to do what God has called them to do. Can we just give all those guys in the house a clap today? I don't know who you are. I know some of you. Right. But all of us, this applies to every single one of us. We have great influence. In fact, in Amos 2, the Lord rebukes the people for shutting down his call on people. Amos 2, verse 11 and 12. He declares the Lord, but you made the Nazarites drink wine. You made them not be able to fulfill their vow right there. And you commanded the prophets, saying, you shall not prophesy. We've got to be a people that encourage and empower and support our children, our spouses, grandchildren, friends, each other. Can I get an amen? Well, God's speaking to us today. Minister Toby, could you come on up? What is it that is provoking you? What is it? What situation? What person? What circumstance? What dream is in your heart? What unfulfilled thing? What calling? Whatever it is in your heart that you know that God has put in there and you know you're supposed to do that. Or maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you have kids that are gone astray. I don't know what it is, but what is it, that thing that's provoking you cruelly every single year after year, day after day? What is it? And how are we responding to it? Well, like Hannah, our response should be to go to the Lord in prayer, right? We got to go to the Lord and pray. Prayer, continue to, because some of us have been praying for a very long time. Like I said, I've been praying for a long time for some answers and for God to turn things around in certain areas. Continue to go to the Lord in prayer. Not only that, but we have to trust God. Confident assurance, that's our faith. Confident assurance in what we can't see. Right? We have to stand on his word and on his promises. And not only that, we need to trust his Timing. Timing. See, the thing I think that is pretty incredible about Hannah is the Lord closed her womb, had closed her womb. And then in the right timing, I mean, she could have given up. She could have said, hey, you know, I'm just not going to go to the house of the Lord anymore. She could have just bailed out on all that stuff. She could have aborted God's plan. She could have stopped praying. She could have gotten bitter. Elkanah could have said, you're not taking my son there to the house of the Lord. I want to keep him at home. They could have aborted God's plan, but they didn't abort God's plan. Don't abort God's plan. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on the dream and the desire of your heart. It was God that had put that desire and dream in Hannah. The Bible says that he works in us to will and act according to his good purpose. That desire, God wants to do it. He wants to fulfill it, but it takes place in his timing. I don't understand that timing sometimes, but I know that God is faithful and his word is true. And heaven and earth might pass away, but God's word remains forever. And I am going to continue to choose to trust in God. I'm going to trust his word. I don't care. Let every man be a liar. I'm going to trust his word. Can you imagine if they had given up, if Hannah had given up? Do you know what an important role Samuel played in the history of Israel? Many Jewish people, they consider Samuel just underneath Moses in importance of leadership because of the impact that he had on the nation. He held the honor of being the last of the judges. He was the first of the next generation of prophets. He was most likely the one that started the school of the prophets. He anointed the very first king, King Saul. And he anointed David, through whom the messianic promise came about, Jesus. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't abort God's plan. Keep on contending for miracles today. Let the thing that provokes you become a catalyst for your miracle. He's given all of us hopes and dreams and desires. Is there spiritual warfare? There can be, yes. In fact, yes. Is there delay? Yes, there is. Is there opposition? Yes. There's opposition. Is it always instant? No, it's not always instant. There's mysteries. Mystery in the timing of God. And Hannah, like Sarah, like Rebecca, like Rachel, and even Leah, had to contend and stand and believe for God's timing to come about and for the fulfillment. And if we respond rightly, if we don't give up, if we continue and commit to be a people of prayer, if we trust his word and allow the difficulty to provoke us to crying out to God, God will have his way. He will have his way. Don't stop praying. If the opposition that you're facing is the enemy, he will flee. Keep standing. Keep standing up. And finally, Hannah allowed the difficulty of her circumstances and her situation to provoke her to desperation. She trusted God with the outcome, the timing, and in due time, she birthed Samuel. She kept her word. She fulfilled her vow. She kept her commitments to God. She didn't stop praying. She loved God. And through this seemingly insignificant barren woman, God birthed Samuel, and a tremendous leader over Israel. What is God going to birth through you if you are faithful? Why don't we stand to our feet today? If you are faithful, if you commit to be a people of prayer and press in, amen? I believe today that there is a body of people in this place that are going to do that very thing. Can I get an amen all over this place? Pastor Daniel.
You see, if you say that's me, I'm going to go all the way. I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to let up. I'm going to see God's plan come to pass in my life. No matter what mountain is before me, I'm going all the way. Raise a hand to heaven. Come on, God sees your hand right now. I pray strength on you. I pray anointing upon these with their hands raised. We covenant with you to fulfill your plan, your dream, your hope, no matter what obstacles might come our way. We bind demon power in every hindrance. We try to mock, try to insult, try to discourage, and declare over this company of people that we will see your plan brought about. We will not abort. We will not quit. We will not turn aside. We set our face like a flint, like you did, towards our spiritual Jerusalem to see fulfillment, knowing that through it, you'll bring much glory. And the purpose for which you have saved us and healed us and brought us into this world will be fulfilled. Strengthen us with might in our inner being right now. Release faith. All discouragement go. Every bit of discouragement, every assignment of the enemy that would try to cause your people to want to quit, that prophetic word about that family hanging by a thread. Receive strength, power on the inside to continue on until he fulfills a dream and hope and plan. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Would you put your best hand clap together for God?
Great job. You want to get that?
Would you be seated for just a moment? And if you would examine your heart right now, as I said in the front part of the service, we always give an opportunity for people to get right with God. This is your opportunity. If you've never given your life to Jesus, don't leave this place in that condition. Give your life to Christ. He died on a cross. He rose again from the grave on the third day. The Bible says that everyone has sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of God's perfection, fallen short of God's grace. We've all lied. We've all stolen. We've all cheated. All of us have. It's common to being a human being. You need a Savior. You need a Savior. Thank God that we have a rule book also, but you don't get saved by the rules. You get saved as a gift. And he gives you rules and principles and precepts on how to live an amazing life. But the most important thing is you must be born again. You can go to church every week and still split hell wide open. Going to church does not get your sins forgiven. Surrendering your body to the flames will not have your sins forgiven. Giving all that you have to the poor will not get your sins forgiven. There's only one way to be forgiven. There's only one way to have your sin atoned for, and that's receiving Jesus. The propitiation, he took your place, he took my place, and when you believe on him, when you believe that he did that for you, and you take the posture of asking for forgiveness, it's repentance, it's called, a godly sorrow, and you realize it's your sin that Jesus was crucified for, you make it personal, and then you ask him to forgive you, to come into your life. You'll be born again, not born of a second time from your mother's womb. No, as Nicodemus said in John 3, but being born of the Spirit. He'll take out that old heart and he'll put in a new one. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the truth of Christianity. Catholics believe that. They add some other things. But real Christianity, that's it. You receive Jesus. Mainline denominations believe that. Many have drifted away from the truth, some simple truth of the good news, which means gospel. You must be born again. I've said it as plain as I can all across this place on Mother's Day. Would you bow your head and examine your heart? If you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. Give your life to Jesus for the first time. You've never done it. You want to do it today. Or secondly, you did give your life to Christ before you were born again, but you drifted. You're not as on fire as you used to be, and you know you need to come home. You need to come back to God. It's the final thing we'll be doing before I close in a benediction, just a blessing over you. Want to give your heart to Jesus first time or make a recommitment all across this place, those online. Lift your hand to heaven. One, two, do it right now. Three, lift your hand. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. God, lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. Over on this right side, I see that hand. I see that hand in this middle section. Hands going up all over. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty over on this left side. Thank you. I see your hand. Lift your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hand. My goodness. Beautiful. Come on, stand up with us all across this place. Stand and pray with me right out loud. Come on, just pray right out loud. Said, I have to do it out loud? Yes, because the Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth unto salvation. So yes, do it out loud. There'll be hundreds of people praying with you online, wherever you are. Pray right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sin. Forgive me for everything I've ever done wrong. I believe you rose again from the grave. And I ask you today to come into my heart, wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Write my name in your book in heaven. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for hearing my prayer. Wonderful. Lift your hands as you surrender to God with hands raised all across this place. Holy Spirit, touch these. Release encouragement and strength. Break off every chain, every bondage, every curse broken by the power of the name of Jesus. Release courage and a spirit of might upon each and every one. And fulfill the plan that you have for them. Though there might be obstacles, they'd overcome. Because you've overcome the world, we can be of good cheer. Release your strength now. Bless them. Fill them full of your spirit. And use these to reach their neighbors. Use these to reach people with the most important message there has ever been shared. Jesus is alive. And he took sin. And he'll come to take up residence in your heart if you'll ask him to. And he'll wash you and he'll cleanse you. And you can live a life of victory with him all of your life. God, thank you for what you've done. Put your best hand clap together for God.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.